But shall we pray one more time? And then if you've got your cards handy, that'll be helpful. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would teach us what is true. We pray that you would reveal who you are, in not just through my words, but in every heart listening to this, Lord God. We pray that you would show us that you care about evil, that you love individual people like me and the people here, and that you give peace and hope to every heart, Lord. I pray that you'd pour out your Holy Spirit and bring peace and hope in every heart. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. What the Bible teaches about Christmas is extraordinary. Yes, we sing about angels and lights, about wise men and shepherds, about mangers and donkeys, but right at the heart of the Christmas message is this humongous claim that at Christmas, the very first Christmas, God became a man. God became a man. Jesus, who is God the Son, was born in human flesh. That's massive. That's a massive claim to make. If that's true, and I believe that's true, and this church believes that's true, and every Christian for thousands of years has believed that that is true, then that makes Christmas and Jesus' life and his death and his resurrection the most significant period in all of human history. And it's not close. It is not close. If Jesus truly is God and he was born on the earth, then that period of time when God walked amongst human beings is easily the most significant moment in all of history. So really, I only want to ask you one question this evening, which is, do you believe that? Do you believe that God was born a human being and came to live on the earth? Well, if that's true, then we also believe that the Christmas story can flood our lives with real, genuine hope. Heart-bursting hope, lung-busting hope, the kind of hope that you want to sing about, the kind of hope that wants you to leap for joy. I can't even say the sentence. I'm so excited about the hope that we can have if the Christmas story is true. And that's what my talk is on. Three reasons why you can have real hope this Christmas season. And the first thing I want to say, the first reason the Christmas story gives us hope, is that we can know what God is really like. I'm a Tottenham fan. I know, I'm sorry. And four or five times a year, I go to the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium and I watch my beloved football team. I normally go to watch them lose, let's be honest. But before the game, the Tottenham fans sing the most ridiculous song ever. It's so stupid. The second verse goes, Tottenham is the greatest team the world has ever seen, and Spurs go marching on. Someone's mouthing along with me. It's great to know there are other Spurs fans in the room. Now, that line is utterly ridiculous, isn't it? I mean, Tottenham, if you know anything about football, you know Tottenham are not the greatest team that the world has ever seen. And yet 60,000 people sing that song all together and our hearts fill with hope. Yes, we're finally going to see Tottenham play brilliantly and magnificently. We're going to be amazing. And then we lose 2-0 to someone really rubbish like Portsmouth or Southampton.
I look
forward to that, Samuel. Okay. Now, I think some people think that that is what church is like. We all gather on a Sunday and we sing nice songs, but does anyone really believe the songs are true? Does it really matter? Well, if we all gather on a Sunday and we just sing some nice songs and we leave filled with hope and feeling nice about each other, does it really matter whether the Christian message is true? Are Christians just like deluded Spurs fans? That could have been the title of my sermon this evening. Are Christians just like deluded Spurs fans? Or can we have genuine hope based on truth? Can we have genuine hope based on truth? Look at the first verse on your card. John, a disciple An eyewitness of Jesus' life reflecting on the Christmas story in John 1 verse 18 wrote, "No one has ever seen God. No one has ever seen God." And he's right. No mere human being has ever ascended into the heavens, seen God, and then come down and said, "I've seen him, this is what God is like." Why should we listen to people like me, who stand up in front of people and guess what God is like? John's saying you shouldn't. You shouldn't listen to people who are guessing what God is like. No one has ever seen God. So how can anyone possibly know what God is really like? Well, John gives us the answer in that very same verse. No one has ever seen God, but God, the only Son, who is at the Father's side, he has made him known. This is the theology of the Christmas story, that Jesus, who is God the Son, has dwelt eternally with God the Father in heaven. And one Christmas time, 2,000 years ago, he came down to dwell upon the earth and show us what God is really like. To show us who he is, because he is God. And so the Christmas story, if it's true, shows us that God wants us to know what he is like. More than that, the Christian message, the Christmas message, invites you to know God personally. I wonder what you're hoping for this Christmas. Have you given your present list to a friend or a family member and you're hoping, what am I going to unwrap on Christmas morning? I wonder what your hopes are for 2026. What are you hoping is going to happen? What are you hoping to achieve in 2026? Can you really dare to hope that you might be able to find out what God is really like? Could you dare to hope that in 2026 you might actually know God personally? It's a massive hope, isn't it? But that's the hope of Christmas. That's the story. That through Jesus, we can know what God is like. And John, who wrote this gospel, saw God in human flesh and gave his entire life to proclaiming that message. I know who God is. I saw him. And I've written it down in my gospel. Now, I know that I haven't proved that Christianity is true in what I've just said in those last few minutes. So you might still have really significant questions like, how do I know that John was telling the truth? Is Jesus really who John says he is? Is Jesus really the Son of God? Well, if you're here and you're genuinely seeking and wanting to know who God is and what God is like, then you're in a great place to go on that journey. We love people who are searching for God and want to really meet with him and get to know him. And I want to give you three suggestions. If you're starting that journey, actually, Duncan, I would really like, if God is real and I can know him, I would really like to explore that. If that's you, I want to give you three things that you can do this evening. Firstly is take a John's Gospel. We've got 100 of these John's Gospels to give away for free. We'd love you to grab one, take it away and read it. Find out what John wrote about Jesus' life, death, and resurrection in this gospel. And if you do that, you can always come back to me and say, Duncan, I didn't understand this, or tell me what that meant. Please do take a free John's Gospel before you leave today. The second thing I'd encourage you to do if you're exploring is come back to church. We meet here every Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. every Sunday. We don't preach guesses about who we think God might be. We preach ancient truth based on the Bible in God's word. We preach how God revealed himself to us through Jesus. And thirdly, in 2026, we're going to run a course called the Alpha Course. It's an opportunity to ask questions about Christianity and really dig into that question, is Christianity true? So if you're exploring, if you want to get to know God, there are options that we'd love you to take up after this talk. But that's the first hope of Christmas. We can really know what God is like, because Jesus is God in human flesh and revealed him to us. The second hope that we can have at Christmas is real hope that God cares about evil, suffering, and darkness. We can all agree that the world contains an awful lot of darkness. We watch on the news of wars and disasters and poverty around the world. Closer to home, we know darkness in our own lives, relationships that have fallen apart, the struggle with loneliness. We see greed around us, people piling up wealth while there are others who don't have enough. We've even experienced hurtful words spoken by people we thought really loved us, even friends and family. There's lots in the world that isn't good. Now, perhaps you're here this evening and you do really care about truth. You liked my first point. You were interested in what is true. But actually, the real reason you're here this evening is because you want to know, does God care about evil and suffering and darkness in the world? We'll have a look at the second verse on your card, John 1, verse 5. Same John speaking about Jesus in the Christmas story, describing Jesus as the light of the world, and he says, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. In other words, Christmas isn't just God coming to earth and saying, this is who I am, this is what I'm like. Christmas is also the story of light coming to deal with darkness in the world. And Jesus dealt with darkness in the world in two different ways. He firstly dealt with darkness through his righteous life. He lived a life full of light. He was kind and selfless, and he told truth, and he healed people, and he helped people, and he loved people. When you read John's gospel, what you'll find on every page is Jesus Christ caring about other people, showing us what a life of light really looks like. And the second way Jesus dealt with darkness is by his death on the cross. It's easy to talk about darkness out there. It's easy to talk about the darkness in the wars, the other side of the world. It's easy to talk about other people's darkness, their problems and their issues. But it's harder to admit that there's darkness in here. Let's be honest, there's much in my life that I'm not proud of. Things I've done, said, thought, which haven't contributed to the light of the world, but have contributed to the dark things in this world. And I wonder if there's anyone here with the humility to say, actually, there's darkness in my own heart, in my own life, that I don't know how to get rid of. Well, on the cross, Jesus says to anyone who's prepared to say that, let me take your darkness from you, and I will carry it. All the dark deeds of your past, present, and future, give them to me, says Christ, as he puts his arms outstretched upon the cross. I will take your darkness to the grave, says Christ. The church, this church certainly anyway, isn't full of perfect people who have never done anything wrong. I can tell you a whole bunch of stories. As a pastor, I get to hear them all. This church is full of people who realised they needed Jesus to save them from their own darkness, the darkness of their own creation. And they believe that what Jesus did on the cross did something to change their present reality. And so I want to say to you, every single one of you, if you sense that there's darkness in your own life that you can't handle, then believe in Jesus. Believe he died to take away your darkness, to take your darkness to the grave. And ask him to shine his light into your heart and into your life. And if you do that, you will receive real forgiveness from God. God offers mercy and forgiveness to all who believe in Jesus. And you will experience a genuine change of heart. God does something in our hearts that radically changes who we are. You see, when Jesus came at Christmas in his first coming, he came to offer a way to be saved out of darkness to individuals who would believe in Jesus Christ. And Jesus is coming again one day in the future when he will truly eradicate all darkness from the face of the earth, and everyone who trusts in Christ will live in paradise forever and ever. That's the gospel. You don't have to earn it through your own good works. You simply have to believe in Jesus, have your sins forgiven, and become part of the kingdom of light, it's called, if you're a follower of Jesus. So Christmas gives us real hope that God cares about evil and darkness in the world and invites us to believe in Jesus Christ as Saviour so our sins can be forgiven. Well, the third reason that Christmas can give you real hope is this. Christmas promises real peace in our lives. Look at the third verse on your cards. It's actually two verses together. And it's part of a song written by a man called Zechariah, who was the father of John the Baptist. And he wrote this in his song about Jesus at Christmas time. Because of the tender mercy of our God. Let me just stop there for a second. Christmas and the cross show us that God is full of tenderness and full of mercy. He will receive even the very worst of sinners who come to him and ask for forgiveness. He is tender, he is forgiving. Because of the tender mercy of our God, writes Zechariah, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. It's the same idea as John, isn't it? Light shining in the darkness, except Zechariah's metaphor is better. He talks about the nighttime and then the dawn arising through the light of Christ, shining into the world. Can you imagine being there? You've lived a life of darkness and then Christ, the light shines and it's like the dawn, sunbeam stretching across the earth. Well, when I believed in Jesus Christ, that's really what it felt like in my heart. It felt like there was a sunrise in my heart. My heart was in shadows and darkness because of guilt and shame. But Christ took my guilt and my shame and brought the light of innocence and honour into my heart. My heart was cold towards others, but Christ brought the warmth of the sunrise so that I might be changed and show greater love and kindness to other people. Not perfect by any stretch of the imagination, but certainly saw change. My heart was anxious and worried and full of the storms of life, but Christ's light shone and showed me a way of peace. The Bible calls this sunrise in our hearts new birth. It really feels like your old self dies and then you are reborn in the inside. That's what happened to me. That's what happened to me when I became a Christian. And there are hundreds of people in this room who can say, that's what happened to me when I became a Christian. There was a sunrise in my heart. I died and was reborn. I suddenly felt a peace I'd never felt before. Maybe you're here, you want to know whether Christianity is true. I've given you three options to start exploring that. Maybe you're here and you want to know that God cares about evil. He definitely does. That's why Jesus came into the world. Maybe you're here and you're just desperate for peace and hope in your heart. And I really believe Jesus is the answer for that as well. Believe in him, receive him, and he will change your life. The Christmas story says you can know what's really true. Come find out what God is really like in Jesus Christ, in his birth and life and death and resurrection, because he is God in human flesh. Christmas says you need to know that God really does care about darkness. Come and ask God to deal with your own darkness in your heart and believe that Jesus died to take your darkness and your dark deeds to the grave. And Christmas says you can have real hope and genuine peace in your heart. Come invite Jesus to shine his light into your heart and bring new birth and new life. Well, I'm going to pray for that. And if you agree with what I say, then you can say out loud or say in your heart the word amen, which just means I agree, and make it your own prayer and say, yes, I want that. And you're speaking to God, not to me, when you say amen. So shall we pray together? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, no one has ever seen you, but therefore we are so thankful for Jesus, who has made you known, who was God in human flesh upon the earth, and has showed us what God is really like. I pray now, Lord, that I might know you and might believe in Christ. Lord God, I thank you that you care about darkness and evil and suffering in the world. I thank you that Jesus came to do something about it. But I also recognize that I've contributed to the darkness, that I've done things wrong, and I ask for your forgiveness. Lord Jesus, thank you that you died on the cross to win my forgiveness and to save me from my dark deeds. And Lord God, I have anxiety in my heart and challenges and storms and struggles. I pray that you would change my heart. I pray that you give me new birth by your Holy Spirit, that you would shine your light and transform my life from the inside out. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.